tell a story that I never told. I have to have everybody paying attention, listening, because it's a brand new story that I never told. And when I tell a story, it's not easy to tell a story. You think it's easy to tell a story? It's not easy. You have to live inside of the story. I'm not just saying words. I have to have it in my mind and tell you about it. Like if you see something and you tell somebody about something you saw, if you didn't see anything, you wouldn't have what to tell. You went to the zoo, you saw the big elephant, and you tell your friend, I went to the zoo, I saw such a big elephant. So you have in your mind the big elephant, your friend didn't go to the zoo, they don't know what you're talking about. When you start telling about it, they find out what's inside of your mind. Now what if you never saw the elephant? Can you go tell them about the elephant?
No.
So I have to have the elephant in my mind. Of course, it's not an elephant, it's a story. In order for the story to have be in my head, you have to look at my nose. When you start looking around, not at my nose, the story goes out of my head. I got nothing to tell. You look at my nose, the story is there. I can tell it. You look away, the story goes away. Nothing in my head. I can't say anything. Hey, Rebbe, why aren't you speaking? I have nothing to talk about. Where's the story? It flew out of my head. Why it flew out of your head? You weren't looking at my nose. Now, what's looking at your nose got to do with it? I don't know. That's the way it is. You look at my nose, you look at me when I'm telling this story, I can tell the story. One time, there was a great tzaddik named Rebbe Yisrael. Every evening, Rebbe Yisrael went for a walk to get some fresh air for his health. As we know, it's a mitzvah to take care of your health. And he went along with his shamish, like his helper. And he would go around the neighborhood. And of course, when he went for a walk, besides getting nice air and some exercise, he would think over Torah. As we know, a Talmud Chacham never takes how many steps?
Four
steps without thinking Torah. That's a Talmud Chacham. He will never go four steps without thinking Torah. If he does, he's not a real Talmud Chacham. A real Talmud Chacham is like a Sefer Torah with feet, walking, a walking Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah that walks. That's what a Talmud Chacham is. So it's not just stam a walk, looking at birdies and trees and thinking about the sky. Usually Rabbi Yisrael went on certain streets or certain other streets around the neighborhood and came home. This evening he started going down the street, down another street, and then down a long street far, far away in a place that he never took a walk before, at least not with the shamish. The shamish is wondering, where is Rabbi Yisrael going? We never went this way. We don't usually go so far away on a walk in the evening, but Rabbi Yisrael kept going. He went to a completely different neighborhood far away where there are very big, beautiful houses. Very big, beautiful yards and lawns and flowers and trees and big fences around some of the beautiful houses, mansions. Over here, very wealthy people lived. The shamash is thinking to himself, I wonder where we're going over here. None of the Hasidim of Rabbi Yisrael live over here. I wonder why we're over here. Maybe he just wants to walk in this neighborhood. But we never went so far away before. All of a sudden, Rabbi Yisrael went in front of one of the houses and didn't go right by. He went on the walkway that goes to the front door. He's going to the front door of this big, big, gigantic, beautiful mansion house. And the shamash is wondering, I wonder why he's going to this house. And he goes to the door. Oh, I don't even see a mezuzah over here on the door. I wonder who lives here. And Rabbi Yisrael knocks on the door. And a servant comes to the door. Yes? Please tell the master of the house that Rabbi Yisrael is here and I would like to see him. And the servant goes and he brings the owner of the house. And all of a sudden, the shamash recognized this man as the president of the big bank. You know what a bank is? Okay, what's a bank?
To keep money.
It's a place that you keep money. A place where there's a lot of money. And of course, banks do all kinds of things with the money. We won't go on explaining here about banks and everything, but banks have to do with money and a lot of money. And the president, the leader of this bank, is now coming to the door. And all of a sudden, the president of the bank, he was a Yid. He was not from, but he was a Yid. He recognized Rabbi Yisrael. He knew who he was. He knew who this great tzaddik was. And all of a sudden, he's so surprised. Rabbi Yisrael, the great tzaddik, what are you doing coming to my house? What a great honor. Please come into my house. And Rabbi Yisrael says, I've come here to do a mitzvah. Oh, to do a mitzvah. Well, please sit down. By all means, you're welcome at my house. It was a great honor for this banker to have the great tzaddik Rabbi Yisrael. Everybody knew great Rabbi Yisrael is a great tzaddik. And Rabbi Yisrael sat down in a chair. And the shamash sat down also. And the banker sat down. And of course, the banker is waiting for Rabbi Yisrael to talk to him or explain what he's doing there and what mitzvah, what's going on. And you know, usually people sit down and all of a sudden they start talking, right? Now, out of respect for the Rebbe, for the great Rabbi Yisrael, so the banker sat quietly and is waiting for the Rebbe to talk. He's waiting for Rabbi Yisrael to talk. And Rabbi Yisrael is just sitting there. He's like looking, but he's not saying anything. He's quiet. And the banker is waiting. And Rabbi Yisrael is just sitting there. He doesn't say a word. He sits there for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes. Can you imagine a person sitting there in your house for 10 minutes? He doesn't say a word. And you're just waiting for him to speak. And the banker is thinking to himself, I wonder what's going on. Well, he whispers to the shamash, can you please tell me why Rabbi Yisrael is here on my house? What does he want? I mean, does he want me to do something? I mean, he's not speaking. And the shamash whispers back, I'm wondering the same thing myself. I have no idea. Well, the Rebbe's just sitting there, not saying a word. And after about, 15 minutes, Rabbi Yisrael gets up and he starts to leave. And the shamash is going with him. And he goes out of the house. He says good night. Thank you very much. And he leaves the house. Well, the banker is very curious. What's going on over here? He comes to my house. He sits down. He doesn't say a word. I mean, he says he wants to do a mitzvah. I know he wants to do something over here, a special thing. I have no idea what it is. He doesn't tell me anything. He doesn't say anything. He sits there for 15 minutes, quiet, and he leaves the house. I'm so curious. What's going on? Well, the banker decided, well, maybe if I follow him, maybe on the way, he'll turn around and tell me something. I don't know. I'm so curious. I can't just let him go like that. The banker leaves the house, and he's following Rabbi Yisrael down the street. And Rabbi Yisrael keeps on going. And they walk all the way back to Rabbi Yisrael's house where Rabbi Yisrael lives. And the banker comes all the way. And now Rabbi Yisrael turns on the walkway to go in his house, and the banker follows him. Finally, the banker can't stand it anymore, and he says, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi, please explain to me, why did you come to my house and you didn't say anything? I mean, I have no idea what's going on. I'm so curious. Please, tell me what's going on. And Rabbi Yisrael turned around to the banker and he says, I told you I came to do a mitzvah in your house. And I did it. And after I did it, I had to leave. Because I was done doing the mitzvah. And the banker says, excuse me, but which mitzvah did you do in my house? I don't know what you did. Rabbi Saul says, it says in the Torah that just like it's a mitzvah to tell somebody something, if you know they're going to listen to you, it's also a mitzvah not to say something to somebody if you know they won't listen to you. I'll say that again. Just like it's a mitzvah to tell somebody something, if you know they're going to listen to you, you should tell them. It's a mitzvah also, it's also a mitzvah not to tell somebody something, don't say it to them, if you know they will not listen. If you know they won't listen to you, it's a mitzvah not to tell them. So Rabbi Yisrael said, since I knew that you would not listen to me if I told you what I had to say, I knew that if I told you what I wanted to say to you, you wouldn't listen to me. So I knew it was a mitzvah not to tell you. So if I'm sitting in my house and you're sitting in your house, I really couldn't do the mitzvah, because you wouldn't know that I have something to tell you that I can't tell you, because I know that you're not going to listen. So I decided, in order to do the mitzvah, I should come to your house, I should sit down with you, and I want to tell you something, but I know you're not going to listen, so I have a mitzvah not to tell you, and that way you're going to see that I'm not telling you, and that way I'll do the mitzvah. So I came to your house, not to tell you what I wanted to tell you, because I knew you wouldn't listen, and then I left. I did the mitzvah and I left. And now the banker was very curious. Rabbi, tell me, well, what did you want to tell me that you think I'm not going to listen? Maybe I would listen. And the banker was so curious. Rabbi, how do you know I wouldn't listen to you? Maybe I would listen to you, but I wouldn't know I wouldn't know until you tell me. Maybe I would listen to you. How do you know I wouldn't? But I'm not going to know until you tell me. So please tell me. Rabbi Yisrael shook his head. I'm sorry. I know you wouldn't listen to me. It's better I don't tell you. So I can't tell you, because you're not going to listen to me anyway. But Rabbi, try. Maybe I would listen to you. No, I'm sure you wouldn't listen to me. It's not worth it. It's better just to keep it like this. And he turns around to go in his house. Rabbi, please, tell me. Tell me, I can't stand it. Please tell me what you wanted to say. Rabbi Yisrael says, okay, I'll tell you. But I really don't think you're going to listen to me. There's a woman in the town who became a widow. You know what a widow is? Her husband passed away. And this woman has, Kinai Nahara, a big family of Kindalach. And there's no Tati now to take care of them and give them money. Well, at the time they bought their house, the Tati was alive and he was working and he was paying money for the house. Now, when you buy a house, Kinalach, you pay money to the bank. I'm not going to explain how it works. It's a thing that's called a mortgage. In order to buy a house, you can't necessarily pay it all at once. It's very expensive. So you pay the bank for the house. Every month, you pay them a certain amount of money for the house. Now, while the father was alive, and he was working, and he had money coming in for the family, they paid the bank for the house. But after he passed away, there was no Tati and there was no money. They could not pay the bank for the house. Now, the bank says, if you don't pay us the money for the house, we have to take away the house from you. And you cannot live in that house because you can't pay for it. And the bank said, if they don't pay the money for the house that they owe, and they started owing more and more money, and the bank then gave them a time, the people of the bank said, if you don't pay the money for the house, you're going to have to pack up your things and leave the house. And for this family, it means they're going to have to go out on the street and they have no place to live. And the Rebbe said, and do you know which bank it is? It's your bank. So what I wanted to ask you was to do something to help this woman that she would be able to stay in her house and not be thrown out of her house. But I knew you wouldn't listen, so I didn't tell you. And the president of the bank says to the Rebbe, to Rebbe Yisrael, but Rebbe, it's not my bank. I'm the president of a big bank that a lot of people work for. I don't own the bank. If the woman owed me the money, then maybe I could think of doing something about it. But she owes the bank the money. It's not my bank. And also, it's so much money. Yes, I know about that house. It's worth a lot of money. She owes so much money to the bank. What am I going to possibly do? And the Rebbe says, see, I knew you wouldn't listen to me, so I didn't tell you. That's why I had to do something. I was so worried about this woman, I thought to myself, look, to stay home and just worry about her, it's not enough. I'm not really doing anything. To come to you and have you do something about it, I knew you wouldn't listen. Because you'd say, it's not your bank, and it's not money from you, it's not your money. So I knew that I couldn't stay home, and I couldn't talk to you, so I figured the best thing that I could do, the most I could do, was come to your house and not say anything. At least I'm doing something, rather than staying home. And the Rebbe turned around, and he went into his house, and the banker was just standing there, of course, thinking about the problem of the woman. Do you know what the end of the story is? Can you figure it out? No, come over here. Try to figure out the end of the story. What do you think? What do you think the banker did after the Rebbe went into his house?
He tried to help the woman.
That's right. He tried to help the woman. He did something special for the woman, and she was able to live in her house, and the bank didn't take it away. That is the end of the story. Once there was, Kinalach, a ship going in the ocean. A big ship going on a long, long trip. A long journey in the ocean. Or a voyage in the ocean. And on the ship were many, many people. And they were going all the way from one side of the ocean to the other side of the ocean. And it takes many days. Even nowadays, if you have a ship and it has motors in it, and it has engines with electricity, or with gasoline, or whatever it is, it could take days and days to get across the oceans. But in those days, they were sailboats, sailing ships. They had big sails, and they didn't have motors. What made the ships go in the ocean was the wind. Because you catch the wind and the sail, and the wind pushes the boat. Now, who knows the way the wind is going to be? Because Hashem is the one who blows the wind. People don't know how the wind is going to be. Sometimes there's wind and sometimes there's not wind. And sometimes the wind is blowing one way, sometimes it's blowing the other way. So sometimes these ocean journeys, these ocean trips took a long time. Or it took a shorter time, depending on the wind. And sometimes if there was no wind, or the wind was blowing the other way, it took twice as long. And so the boat, the big ship, is going in the ocean from one side of the ocean to the other side of the ocean. And actually, it happened to be going from one side of the ocean to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is on the other side of the ocean. So this boat, this ship was headed for Eretz Yisrael. On the ship was a Yid. And this Yid was going to Eretz Yisrael for Sukkos. And he had his lulav. And he had his esrog. And he even had hadassim, because he already bought them. But he did not have yet arabis. Because usually arabis are what we buy last. Because the lulav lasts a long time and stays nice and green and nice and fresh. And the esregim stay a nice long time. Usually during the summertime is when the people go to Italy or the places depicted as Sroigim, and they can stay a long time even though they're cut off the tree. And the Hadassim can also stay a long time, but the Aravis can only stay for a short time until they start to dry up and get all black and start to get not nice looking. So we usually buy them the last. So this Yid had only the Lulav and the Esrog, and he had his Hadassim, but he did not have a Rabbis yet, because he said, when I get to Eretz Yisrael, right before Yontiv, or even a couple days before Yontiv, that's when I'm going to buy my Hadassim. And they'll be nice and fresh, my Aravis, and they'll be nice and fresh for Yontiv. And so, Kenalach, the plan was to get to Eretz Yisrael a few days before Yontiv, and he'll have time to get his Aravis. But in the ocean, there were a few days that didn't have wind, and a few days that had wind blowing the wrong way, and the weather bechlal was not very good, and sometimes it was stormy, and sometimes it was quiet, and the ship seemed to be going very, very slowly. It didn't seem to be getting to Eretz Yisrael too fast at all. And the Yid was worried. Oy vey, well, what if I don't get to Eretz Yisrael on time for Yontif? Oy vey, that would be terrible. And he goes to the captain. Now, Kinalach Sukkos was going to be on a Wednesday night. And now it's Sunday. Okay? It's Sunday in the ship. Now, since it's a big ship, and it's going on a long way, so you're even allowed to spend Shabbos on the ship, because the ship takes a few weeks to go across the ocean. And they're supposed to get to Eretz Yisrael Tuesday. Now, if they get to Eretz Yisrael on Tuesday, there's going to be enough time to get ready and to buy the things they have to buy for Wednesday night. But it seemed that it was going to take a long time. And the Yid goes to the captain and he says, "Captain, when are we getting to Eretz Yisrael? Are we getting there Tuesday?" The captain says, "Well, the way it looks now, we'll be lucky if we get there Thursday. And probably, I would say, the way things are going, we might even get there next week." "What? Next week? It'll be Sukkos already. Sukkos starts Wednesday night. Thursday is the first day of Sukkos." "Well," the captain says, "I'm sorry, I cannot make the wind blow. I can only do the best I can and just steer the boat and tell the sailors which way to make the sails. But I really don't think we're going to get to Eretz Yisrael on Wednesday, even for sure not Tuesday. I think it's going to be like next week." "Well, Kinalach," the Yid said, "well, you never know what's going to happen. Maybe some big winds are going to blow, so I'll wait till tomorrow." It came now Monday. Monday, there was no wind at all. And the boat was just staying in one place in the ocean. It wasn't even going. And he's going to wait for Tuesday. Tuesday, Kenalach, a wind came the other way and blew the ship backwards. It was just going the other way the whole day. And now it came Wednesday, Erev Yontif, and the boat was far, far away from Eretz Yisrael. And now the Yid saw for sure they're not getting there in time for Sukkos. Oy vey, what is going to be? How could he do the mitzvah on Sukkos on Thursday morning of benching the lulav and the esrog if you need dalit minim, you need four kinds, and he only has three kinds? And he knew that you cannot do it with three kinds, you need four kinds. You need to have also the aravis, and he didn't have any aravis. All he needs is two aravis. And now it came Wednesday morning, and the Yids felt very bad because it's going to be Yontif tonight. And it came now Wednesday afternoon. Mele, he doesn't have a sukkah. What can he do? What could he do? He'd love to have a sukkah. But that he has three of the Dalit Minim and he doesn't have one. If there's only something he could do. And it came now Thursday afternoon later. All of a sudden, as he's sitting by the edge of the boat, just looking over the water, he sees far away, there's a little, like, thing sticking out of the water, like a little island, like a little pile of dirt sticking out of the water, like a little island, a very small island. And as they passed by a little closer, he saw there were certain kind of plants growing on the island. At first he thought, what about schach? Maybe if there's an island with plants, he can get schach and build a sukkah. Well, there for sure was not enough plants to make any kind of schach. There weren't any trees or anything like that. There were just a few little plants growing. You could see from very far away there was something growing there. All of a sudden, the Yid remembered that aravis grow right next to water. That's where aravis grow. I mean, there are different kinds of aravis, but certain aravis grow right next to the water. He thinks to himself, maybe those plants that are growing on the island are aravis. If they're aravis, all I need is two of them, and I'll have the mitzvah of all the four kinds. And he went to the captain. Captain, you see way over there is a little island. And the Yid asked the captain, Captain, could we please take the ship to that little island? All I need is to get a few plants from that island. And the captain got upset and he says, you're asking me to take this big ship full of people for you, for one person, and I should make it go over to that little island to get two little plants? Are you kidding? I can't do that. First of all, I'm not going to do for one person if everybody else doesn't want that. And second of all, it's going to make time more that we're going to waste time. We're already late to get to where we want to go. Yeah, but the Yid says, you see, I have a special thing and I just need two plants and it's just going to take maybe an extra hour or something. Could we please go over there? The captain says, look, you're only one person and this is a very big ship and there's many, many people, there's hundreds of people on this ship. How can I just do for you and to get two little plants? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, but you understand, it's for a mitzvah. For a mitzvah. Well, the captain says, what do you mean a mitzvah? What are you talking about? And the captain wasn't a Yid. Well, the Yid saw that to explain to the captain the whole thing, that he has to go to get two plans, might not really get to the captain to explain him. He might not really be able to explain to the captain. All of a sudden, the Yid got an idea. Captain, what if I give you some money and, you know, you could have some extra money for yourself and that way you go to the island and I'm going to pay you? Well, the captain got a little excited. You could see in his eyes that he got excited about getting some money. So the Yid saw that the captain likes money and maybe if he gives him some money, the captain will go there. Captain, what about if I give you $25? Ah, the captain says, come on, I'm not going to take the ship there for $25. Well, captain, what about $50? $50 is also not so much money. The Yid says, what about $100? Well, the captain says, well, maybe for one plant for $100, but you need two plants, right? Okay, captain. $200 if you go to that little island just for a few minutes that I can get some aravis. Now, Kinalach, the Yid paid the captain $200. And the captain told the sailors to move the sails and he moved the steering wheel that the ship should go to that island. And the Yid got out. It was a little tiny island, smaller than this room. And he had got out and he looked around the island and there was a few plants. And sure enough, he found two kosher aravis. And he was so happy. He picked up the aravis and now he had for the mitzvah of the Dalad Minim. And the next morning, the morning of Sukkot, he had all of the four minim. And he was happy that he had, even for $200, didn't matter. Because for a mitzvah, you can't measure a mitzvah with money, that it's worth money, it's worth $100 or $200 or $2,000. Because the mitzvah is for Hashem, and he was happy, even though he paid $200 for the aravis, that he had the mitzvah of the four kinds of plants for the mitzvah of the Dalad Minim on Sukkot.